It's a privilege to be here, and Pastor Johnston, when we were growing up, he mentioned he spent a lot of time at our house. He kind of became known as the fourth Pennell child, and he spent a lot of time at our house, and we became great friends really all the way through. I mean, he looks a lot younger than me, but we're really just a few months apart in age, and we were great friends growing up, and I'm thankful for that, for what God's doing with him through the ministry here. And we've been able to be a part of this breakfast for a number of years, and I have generally enjoyed the breakfast more than I have this year, and that's because I'm up here preaching. I enjoy preaching, but I don't necessarily enjoy pigging out right before I preach. And so I may have dialed it back just a little. Now, those that sat around me this morning may not think I dialed it back much, but that was actually dialing it back a little bit this morning. But we've enjoyed this, and I know that Pastor Johnston has a great heart for the men and boys of our churches. Our churches need men. Our churches need men that will be strong leaders, that will lead their homes, lead their families, take leadership roles within the church. It's great to have godly ladies in the church, and we need godly women. But the fact of the matter is, men, that our wives should not be leading our homes when it comes to spiritual matters. That should be us. And many of the young men that are here that aren't yet married or looking to be getting married in the next number of years, take the role of spiritual leadership seriously. And become the kind of man that you ought to be. And I trust that as we look at God's Word this morning for just a little bit, that we'll take the truth of God's Word, apply it in our hearts, apply it in our lives, and take it home with us to our churches. The message that I feel the Lord would have me to bring this morning is not a message that is earth-shattering. It's not something that you're going to leave here with and probably just be totally impressed by that amazing preacher. But I do believe that it will be something that if you take it with you, that it will help you as you go from here. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 28. Acts chapter number 28. Again, I certainly want to thank Pastor Johnston and the folks of Gospel Light Baptist Church for hosting this event each year. And it's been a blessing to a number of our men for a number of years, and I've enjoyed it, and we look forward to being a part of this each year. Now, I don't know all of you men that are here today. I do believe that for the most part, if you're here on a cold Saturday morning, that you're here because you at least have some desire in your heart to do what's right. You have some desire to serve the Lord. You have some desire to follow whatever God's plan might be for your life. Brother Jupp, when he was giving a prayer request just a few minutes ago, talked about how the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I believe that if you're here this morning, you're here because your spirit is willing. You have a heart that is bent towards wanting to do the right thing, but often our flesh kind of overpowers our spirit. And we wind up not doing the things that maybe we know that we ought to do. How many of you have ever really tried to do the right thing only to find out that the decision that you made was a terrible decision? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm sure that many of us have experienced that type of thing. We try to do the right thing. We really want to and have a desire to do what's right, but we wind up making decisions that are terrible. When I was a child, Pastor Johnston might remember this, as we were in building the building that we're currently in, the first building that's on the property that we're at in Barrie. We did much of the work ourselves. I was just a child, but we had a lot of work days on Saturdays and all sorts of things, we had in what is the basement of our building, there were some studs up in the wall, but there was lots of chunks of block and brick and concrete and different things in some of the rooms. And there was one particular day that we were working, and I say we, that's kind of loose. The adults were working, and some of us kids were kind of getting in the way. But my dad was in one of the rooms, and he was just throwing out chunks of brick and block and concrete out into what is now the hallway. And I, being a young child, probably 6 or 7 years old, was just having some fun running from room to room between the studs in the wall, you know, just kind of running through there. I had just made a decision that I was just going to try to have some fun for a few minutes, and I was running. Well, it was dark down there, and I was running from one side of this room to the other side of the room, not knowing that my dad was in that room and throwing things out into the hallway. And as I ran across, he threw a chunk of concrete, and it met my face. That's why I look the way I do. It met my face, and it bloodied me all up. And what, interesting enough, that room that my dad was in that was throwing things out is now the girls' bathroom. And so not many of you can probably say that you got bloodied up in the girls' bathroom in your church. I can say that. But that was a decision that I made that I didn't set out to do something wrong. I didn't set out to do something terrible. But the consequences wound up being pretty bad. The consequences wound up costing me some stitches and some swelling and all sorts of different things. The consequences weren't good. Sometimes we end up making some bad decisions as well. We may not end up getting bloodied up in the girls' bathroom at the church through our bad decisions, but we wind up making some bad decisions. Maybe we don't know all the facts. Maybe we are relying on what we thought was good information that turned out to not be great information. Maybe other people just got in the way of what we wanted to accomplish. But regardless of what the circumstances may have been, we've all no doubt made decisions that wound up landing us short of the target that we were shooting for. I want to preach this morning on a little bit of an unusual topic. How to miss the will of God. How to miss the will of God. Now, it's kind of like we've often missed our target when trying to do something. Like me just running through the studs, I was trying to just get from one room to another, and I missed my target. We need men and boys who are willing to follow the will of God, find the will of God, do the will of God, but often despite our desires, despite our desire to do right, despite our desire to do the right things, we wind up missing the will of God. And I'll try to explain more about that in just a moment. Some of you are familiar maybe with what's taking place here in the book of Acts as we get to chapter number 27. I don't remember if I told you 28 or 27. Acts chapter 27. Some of you are familiar, but for those that may not be familiar, here's a little bit of what's happened, a little bit of a summary. Paul has been arrested. He has stood before Felix and then Festus and then Agrippa. And while standing before Festus, he appealed his case to Caesar. And at the end of verse 26, Agrippa says that if Paul had not appealed to Caesar, he might have been set free. But because he had appealed to Caesar, his case would have to be heard by Caesar. And in order to have his case heard before Caesar, he would have to go to Rome. And in our text today that we're going to read in the first 13 verses of chapter 27, Paul has begun his journey from Caesarea, where he was being held as a prisoner, to Rome, where he would have his case heard by Caesar. So that's what's happening leading into our text. Now let's read our text here in chapter 27 of Acts and the first 13 verses. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when he had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lacia. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phinehas, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, that lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into what I believe the Lord would have for us here this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the men that are here that no doubt have a desire to follow you, a desire to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, that as we look at your word this morning, you would help us to see some pitfalls, some roadblocks that sometimes cause us to miss what your will would be for our lives. Help us to identify these things and thus help us to avoid those things that would cause us to miss your will, and help us rather than to seek your will and find your will and do the things that you would have for us to do each day in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've just read the part of this adventure, if you will, that is Paul's beginning of his journey to Rome. If we were to continue reading, and again, we talked about what had led into this passage of Scripture. We just read this passage of Scripture. But if we were to continue reading, we would find a number of things later in the passage that we won't get into today. We would find that the men of the ship came into a big storm. Euroclydon, the Bible calls it. The storm beat up the ship. They worked at trying to repair it. They were afraid of running aground to some quicksand. They threw all sorts of things overboard. They let the wind drive the ship. All that seems to have happened on day one. The next day, they continued to fight the storm. They made the ship lighter. And then on the third day of the storm, they cast out all the extra things that they still had from the ship. And verse 20 says, they went many days without seeing the sun, and the people on the ship had given up hope that they would survive the storm. God spoke through Paul that they would shipwreck. If we continued to read this passage, we'd see that they would shipwreck, but no lives would be lost. And that's exactly what happened. All 276 people that were on board the ship were spared. So we've seen what led up to this passage of Scripture. We've seen what takes place after this passage of Scripture that we've read at the beginning of Acts. But what I really want to do now is focus in on these text verses that we read a moment ago. In particular, one character from this story that we don't really consider, that often is overlooked in this story. You know, and when we think of the book of Acts, there's a number of characters that automatically come to mind. Of course, the Apostle Paul is one that automatically comes to mind. And maybe Ananias, who talked to Paul initially, and we would have Peter, and we'd have Barnabas, and Silas, and Luke, and Timothy, and the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and Felix, and Festus, and Agrippa, and all of these different people. Lots of people that come to mind when we think of the book of Acts and characters in it. But this morning, I want you to look back at verse 1. In chapter 27, and we're introduced to a different character named Julius, who was a centurion. Now, he had to be a relatively smart guy to be put in this position. He was no doubt a sharp fellow, a man that was respected. He was a leader among men. I mean, he had to be. He was a leader, and he had 100 men of these troops that would follow him. He was a centurion. On top of that, we see that he was nice to the Apostle Paul. Here is a centurion, a Roman centurion, being nice to this prisoner, Paul. So he seems to have been a nice fellow. Most of the time, these centurions, these guards, would have been cruel and harsh to these prisoners, but he wasn't to Paul. He seemed to be a genuinely nice guy, at least he was to Paul. But despite all of these things, Julius, we see in these verses, made some decisions that caused him to miss what the best thing was, to miss what would have been, I believe, God's will in this situation. They were choices that brought about disaster. And these choices not only impacted Julius, but impacted the others on the ship as well. Often we hear messages about the will of God and finding the will of God, and we need to hear those messages. We often gear those to young people, and we see children and young people, and we encourage them to seek the will of God, to find the will of God. And that's true for them. But you know, the same is true for us as men. We need to seek God's will as well. We need to strive to find God's will. We need to strive to stay in God's will. But often, despite knowing that God has a plan for our lives, despite knowing that God has a will for our lives, He has things that He wants for us to do, despite that our desire often is to do the right things, we still make choices that cause us to miss God's will for our lives.
We make choices that cause us to miss God's plan for our lives. So much of our lives and what we make of them comes down to choices. Like me running between the studs of that wall, making those choices that caused me some pain. We make choices that cause us, and really those choices determine what we do in life and how we react to the things that come along our way. How do we act when things go our way? How do we react when things don't go our way? The choices that we make in these areas will have a huge impact on how God is able to use us. We all know people that are good people, nice people, moral people, but people that have made bad choices in certain areas. So let's look this morning for a few moments at the story of Julius, a seemingly nice guy, and see some of the choices that he made that led him to missing the will of God. And I believe that as we see these things in Julius's life, that if we follow the same path that he did, we too will make choices that will cause us to miss the will of God. So let's see these stumbling blocks, these hindrances, these things, these choices that Julius made that caused him to do this. Now, I'm not going to be terribly long this morning. 2 hours from right now, I'm supposed to be starting a wedding. So we're not going to be terribly long, but I do have this truth that I believe God wants for us. Now, the reality is weddings never start on time. So it's not a big deal if I end up going a little longer. The second reality is that this is a Filipino wedding, so it's even less likely to start on time, right? So we don't have to worry too much. But I do want to try to at least be there on time, so it's not my fault that the wedding is starting late. But there's a few things that I want for us to see, and the first thing kind of applies to what I just said. The first thing that we see Julius did is he got in too big of a hurry. We need to make sure that we're not in too big of a hurry. I'm in a little bit of a hurry this morning because I know I need to get back for this wedding. But if we get in too big of a hurry when it comes to choices and decisions that we make, we wind up missing the will of God. Look at verses 4 to 8 here in Acts 27. It says, "When we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete and over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia." As you read this, it's pretty obvious that the conditions for sailing weren't good. Remember, the men of this day and the people, the shipmasters and so on of this day, did not have the modern conveniences of massive motors and engines and so on to propel ships like we have today. They relied on the wind. We see that in verse 4, they had contrary winds. We see in verse 7 that they had basically no winds. But Julius had a job to do. He had prisoners to deliver. He no doubt was carrying other cargo that was part of the profit that he would get from making this journey that he had to get to Rome as well. He had a schedule to keep. He probably had a reputation to uphold, and he was going to deliver those prisoners on schedule no matter what. And no doubt, the sooner he could deliver these prisoners, the better. He wanted these prisoners off his hands, no doubt. He could relax. He could take the pressure off from the task. And Julius, in doing all of this, I believe, got in a hurry. And so too do we at times. We see sometimes that God is putting up roadblocks. We want to go a particular way, and God may be putting up roadblocks, but yet we get in a hurry, we push through them, because we think that it's what is best, even if God is telling us to wait. Sometimes in following God's will, we must learn to wait. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Proverbs 20 verse 22 says, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." Isaiah 40:31, a very familiar verse, says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God wants for us to learn to wait. To wait. To not be in a hurry. We live in a very instant society. We want what we want, and we want it now. We have instant everything when it comes to food. We got your instant coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker, but you may be. You got instant coffee. You got fast food restaurants. You got instant potatoes, an instant pudding, an instant hot chocolate, an instant tea, an instant everything. I say all this and simply say we are not programmed today to wait. We're programmed to go, go, go and get what we want and get it now. People today want the job of their dreams right out of college. I finished up my education. I want the job of my dreams. They want their dream house and they want it now. They don't want to wait for the timing that might make sense. We want instant gratification, but often God says to wait. Sometimes God's answer is not no. It's just not right now. Young people get in a hurry often and miss the will of God because they won't wait for the person that God has for them. I was a youth pastor for 18 years, and I often told the young people, you're far better off being single wishing you were married than being married and wishing you were single. It's a good thing to wait. Wait for the right person. Young people get in a hurry sometimes, or they want a boyfriend or girlfriend, and they want one now, but God may be saying, wait. In some cases, God may have brought the right person along for a young person, but they don't want to wait to get involved physically. God talks about the physical part of marriage being a wonderful thing, but he says, wait, wait. And I would challenge the young men in the room that aren't yet married to wait not only for the right one, but wait for the right timing to get involved physically with the right one. Marriage is a wonderful thing. But, you know, for all of us, I would say young people and men alike, we need to have a plan in our minds when we are faced with certain temptations. All of us face temptations, especially with people of the opposite sex. We face and will face temptations. And we need to have an escape plan. You know, for this building, no doubt, there's a fire escape plan. If there's a fire, these are the steps that you're supposed to follow. We ought to, men, have some things already devised in our mind and a plan in our mind. If I am faced with this temptation, this is what I'm going to do. If I'm faced, and again, Brother Jupp talked about addictions. If I'm faced with someone offering me alcohol, faced with someone offering me drugs, faced with a young lady trying to tempt me sexually, what am I going to do? Okay, this is what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. And replay those things in your mind so that when you're faced with those temptations, you know what to do. That's why we have a Christian school there in schools, we have fire drills so that if a fire actually happens, everyone knows what to do. We need to, in our lives, know what to do when we're faced with certain things. But again, getting back to this idea of being in a hurry, young people, don't be in a hurry. Even men, as you get a little bit older, don't get in a hurry when it comes to making decisions, whether it be to for people of the opposite sex or whether it be with other decisions that we make. Let's not be in a hurry. Wait on God. Seek God's timing. Get in God's word as you make decisions for your life and as you're seeking what God would have you to do. Get in God's word and get some confirmation from God's word. And if you don't have confirmation from God's word, then maybe God's just saying, just wait. Wait, I'll give you that my confirmation in due time. One sure way to miss the will of God is to get in too big of a hurry. Many of us have made mistakes in life because we've gotten in too big of a hurry. I'm sure that we could go around the room this morning and take all sorts of testimonies, not just from the preachers in the room, but from other men in the room that would say, yeah, I made a mistake here because I got in too big of a hurry. Maybe it was a business decision, something to do with work, maybe in us, your personal life, maybe in what. We could go around and have all sorts of testimonies from men that said, I got in too big of a hurry and it cost me this. It cost me this. Folks, bad decisions come often as a direct result of being in too big of a hurry. So don't miss out on what God has for you because of being in a rush. The second thing that I would see from this passage is that Julius missed out on the will of God, and we will too, if we listen to the wrong people. And I believe we see in this passage that Julius listened to the wrong people. Look at verses 9 to 11. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Julius here gets advice from two different people. He hears from Paul, and he hears from the master and the owner of the ship. And in weighing these two opinions out, he does what really is the humanly smart thing to do. He takes the opinion of the owner and the master of the ship. I mean, that would seem to make sense. He's the one who's the shipmaster. He's the one that knows the sea. He has a preacher who's also a prisoner, and he has a shipmaster, and he's looking for advice about what to do on the water. He listened to the perceived human expert rather than the spiritual advice that was given. Too often, we listen to the perceived experts in society rather than applying the principles and truths of God's word in our lives. Society has gone cuckoo. I mean, let's be honest. It's gone nuts. We were talking about this a little bit at the table at breakfast. I mean, you look at what's happening in society, and it's just crazy. And yet, we, even as Christians so often, will listen to the human experts, the perceived experts in society, rather than getting into God's word and seeing what God's word would have to say for us, how the situation that we face applies, what principles from God's word might apply to those things that we face. So I would challenge you, get into God's word. Know the Bible so you can know how to apply the Bible. And you're not going to know the Bible if you don't get into the Bible. You're not going to know the Bible if you don't open it and study it and read it and meditate on it. But beyond that, I would say that God gives us people to help us with spiritual insight as well. God has placed people in your life to help you spiritually. And I am sure that every person in here could name at least one and probably several people that you know that you can go to for spiritual and godly counsel. For the young people, it would certainly, hopefully, be your parents if they're Christian. But beyond that, we've got pastors or youth pastors or other godly, maybe more mature Christians that we know that we can talk to, that we can go to and get some spiritual advice. Do we seek those people for advice? There are several verses in the Bible that let us know that in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Right. To us, that sometimes means ask a multitude of people until you find somebody who agrees with you. That's not the idea of what God's word is saying. That's not the idea behind the verse. The right counsel will save us a lot of heartache and a lot of problems and certainly a lot of bad choices, but we must be careful where we get that counsel from. The sad fact of the matter is that there is an awful lot of bad advice out there. If your primary source of advice is Google or Wikipedia, your advice is probably in the wrong place. But the reality of the matter is this: there's a lot of bad advice out there, even from other Christians. If you're a Christian doing wrong, it's not hard to find another Christian that will support you in your wrongdoing. Often there are things that we see through social media that are just, that boggle my mind as Christians. There are things that Christians will do that are obviously wrong, and Christians on social media will like it. They like that post. They like that picture. They like that statement. They like this. They like that. They'll comment on it. They'll encourage them in their wrongdoing. Folks, not only is that unwise, it's wrong. It's always right to stand up for biblical truth, and it's always wrong to stand in opposition to it, even if it's a friend that's involved. I'm not against social media. I'm on social media. I'm not on it a ton, but I am on it. I'm against using it, however, or any other forum, for that matter, for doing wrong or for encouraging wrong. Romans 1 verse 32 talks about judgment coming not only to those involved in the sins that it mentions leading into that, but also to those that take pleasure in them. I'm afraid that often in this society in which we live, we may not always be involved in the sin. That's good. but we sometimes are encouraging those that are. That's not good.
Getting back to our text, the point here is bad advice. Julius listened to the wrong people. He got advice from the right person. He got spiritual advice from Paul, but he also got it from someone else, and he took the wrong advice. We must be very careful about the advice that we seek and the advice that we listen to. Men, are you taking marriage advice from the guys at work? Or are you seeking advice and counsel from your pastor? Are you seeking God's word for what God's word says about the issue that you maybe are having? Are you listening to family that maybe are putting a bug in your ear about wrong things, or are you listening to God's word? God has given each of us spiritual people that we can go to for godly counsel. Use those people. Use those people. And when I was a youth pastor, I remember telling the young people all the time, God has placed people in your life, whether it be me as your youth pastor or your parents or your Sunday school teacher or your Christian school teacher. He's placed these people in your life. Use them. And we tell young people that, but again, it's true for us men as well. We have people in our lives that we know we can go to for spiritual guidance. Use them. God doesn't place these people in your life just by accident. They're there for a reason. Use them. The first thing we saw about missing the will of God was that we will miss the will of God if we get in too big of a hurry. Another sure way to miss the will of God is to listen to the wrong people. And then thirdly, this morning I would say this, we miss the will of God when we look for the easy way out. Verses 12 and 13 in our text, again it says, "And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain unto Phoenix, and there to winter, which is in a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." Notice a couple of things about this. We see that they took the easy way because he followed the majority, and because he was seeking a warmer place to winter. Now, that second reason I could get behind. You know, I can get behind seeking a warmer place to winter. All right, we're here towards the end of January. We've come through a pretty cold snap here the last week or two. I get behind that. But what are his reasons ultimately here? He's looking for the easy way out. He followed the majority, and he was seeking a warmer place to winter. The motivation behind the decision to move on was to please the majority, or at the very least, to find a nicer place to stay. Following the majority is usually a bad idea. Matthew 7, verses 12 to 14, talk about the broad way and the narrow way. The broad way and the narrow way. If you're with the majority in today's society, you're likely headed toward destruction. If given the choice of life or destruction, which would you choose? Obviously, we would choose life, for the Bible says that the broad way leads to destruction, the narrow way leads to life. And yet too often we want to be in with the crowd. We want to be in with the majority. We don't want to stick out. We don't want to be the one that does something different. When I was growing up, the reason, but everyone else is doing it, never was a valid reason. My dad might say, well, everyone else might be doing it, but you're not. I hated that. I didn't like that statement at all. But that's what he'd say. Now think about that as it relates to Christian society today. It's a wicked world. It's getting worse by the day. Bible-believing, Bible-practicing Christians are in the vast minority today. So with that in mind, should we be following the majority? Or should we expect to find ourselves in the minority more often than not? We should expect to find ourselves in the minority. In fact, if we find ourselves with the majority, we probably need to take a look at ourselves and say, okay, am I on the right path here? Am I really doing the right thing here? Too often we're afraid of sticking out, but we should stick out as Christians in a wicked world. We should stick out. Now, I'm not saying we need to be weird. I'm not saying we need to be, you know, just these crazy weird people. But if we're doing right and striving to please God in this society, we're going to be a little different. We're going to stick out a little bit. The other aspect of this decision was made with comfort in mind.
And that cannot be the basis for decisions that we make as Christians. Comfort. We must make decisions based on Bible principle and with the spiritual well-being of ourselves and our families in mind. Men, you are to lead your families. But as you lead your families, be careful that you're not making a choice just simply based on convenience or comfort. That's not necessarily the best thing. You want to make sure that you're making decisions on biblical principle. If you're in your church, you're involved in your church, and you maybe have a job opportunity that's going to move you elsewhere, I'm not saying that it's not God's will for you to consider that other opportunity, but you'd best make sure that there's a good church you can get involved in there. Check with your pastor and see if there's somebody there that he knows that might be able to help you, a good church you can get involved in. Don't just make choices based on comfort and convenience. Don't switch churches just because you get mad at a person or the pastor because you want to be more comfortable. That pastor preaches on sin. I am not comfortable sitting under his preaching because he steps on my toes once in a while. Well, you probably need to be in a church where your toes get stepped on every once in a while. We all need to be in churches where our toes get stepped on once in a while, because chances are we're not doing everything that lines up with this book. And so we need to be convicted sometimes when confronted with the Word of God. Make decisions with your family's best interests, spiritually speaking, in mind. Looking for the easy way out is a sure way to miss out on the will of God. And man, this is so important for us as we lead our families. There will always be temptation to take the easy way. There's always a temptation to be a little lazy. There's temptation to take the easy way. There's temptation to follow the majority, especially when getting pressure from your own children. But Dad, everybody's doing this. But Dad, everyone has this. Everyone gets to do this. Don't make decisions based on convenience. Make decisions based on biblical values. If you don't want to miss the will of God, you must not just look for the easy way in any situation. Look for God's way. Julius, he was a good guy. He was good to the Apostle Paul. But despite this, he made some decisions that caused him to miss out on the will of God. I would challenge us this morning, men, to learn from Julius. And don't make the same choices that caused him to miss the will of God and ultimately brought shipwreck to him and those around him. But make a different choice. Don't get in too big of a hurry. Let's not get in a rush. Let's be willing to wait on the Lord. Let's be careful who we're taking advice from. Don't take bad advice. And don't look for the easy way out. There's always an easy way. There's always an easy way. But don't look for the easy way. Before we close, there's one other thing that I'll mention about God's will. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that anyone should spend an eternity in a place called hell. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and pay sin's penalty for you and for me. I know most of the men here know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and that's a wonderful thing. But if you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's God's will for you to be saved. There's not a lot of things that I can look at you dogmatically about and say, this is God's will. Now, I know it's God's will for you to be in church, and it's God's will for you to tell others about Christ and so on. But when it comes to specific decisions about your job or about other things, I can't necessarily tell you what God's will is. I can encourage you to get in God's Word and get good advice and not be in a hurry. But I can guarantee you this, it is God's will for you to be saved. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here this morning, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would beg of you, I would challenge you, get that matter settled today. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In the invitation time, in just a moment, you'll have the opportunity to come and talk to somebody. And they can show you from God's Word how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. Get that matter settled today. And for the rest of us, men, boys, let's determine that we're not going to follow the same path that Julius did, that caused him to miss out on the will of God. As we lead our families, as we one day look to lead our families for the younger men, as we strive to be in the will of God, we want to do what's right. You have a desire, no doubt. That's why you're here today. You have a desire to do what's right. let's not allow that desire to go to waste simply because we get in too big of a hurry. We look for the easy way out. We take the wrong advice. Let's not miss the will of God for our lives. Let's pray together.